Now may I gather us together around a reading of God's Word, and today it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. The key here, of course, is that words, "do this in remembrance of me." You find that in a lot of communion tables. That's carved into the railing there underneath the top. "This do in remembrance of me." And it is the Lord's way of continuing to perpetuate the story of his life and the gift of his life that it was to all of us. There are many examples of God wanting his people to remember what he has and had done for them throughout Scripture. You find one of the examples in the rainbow that he put into the sky after he preserved life upon the earth when he could have wiped it out completely. He took grace and mercy upon mankind and left a seed, if you will, a remnant of mankind that was to begin to populate the earth again, as well as the animal life that was there. And he put a sign of remembrance in the sky, if you remember that rainbow that he brought to Noah's attention during that time. There was also the stones of remembrance that Joshua had his people put up as they walked across the Jordan that day to go into the land of promise, the land that God had continued to lead them to and had talked about for so many years prior to that. And as the priest had stepped into the Jordan, the flow of the Jordan had stopped and they allowed the people to walk across. And Joshua asked or commanded that stones be taken up from that riverbed and piled up for a time when one day children would ask their parents, "What means these stones?" And that could be shared with them. But before that happened, there was another sign of remembrance that God has given to his people in Egypt. And that was the sign of the Passover. If you remember when the plagues were done and the last plague was coming, and that plague was to be more horrendous than any of the preceding plagues, that God said that every firstborn in Egypt would be taken whose life was not protected by the sign that God had given to his people. And that was the sign of the blood. They were instructed to kill the lamb, a lamb without blemish, to take the blood from that lamb and apply it over their lintels and doorposts. And that that sign then, that symbol that he said God would see, and the death would pass over you. And so that celebration of remembrance God instilled within the people to be that Passover celebration, where God spared them, but not only spared them from death, but also delivered them out of the bonds of captivity in which they had found themselves in slavery in Egypt. But there was also a part of that meal, too, that he never wanted them to forget, and that was the bitterness of that bondage. And so within that Passover meal, there was a selection of bitter herbs. I don't know what they were, but the bitterness of those herbs were to remind the people of the bitterness of the bonds of slavery that they had been subjected to, that God delivered them from in a miraculous way on that night. So the meat of the lamb was to be eaten. The bitter herbs were to be consumed as a reminder of the bitterness of slavery, as well as the unleavened bread, which means that they were prepared to leave. And that bread and meal was to sustain them for their journey out of bondage and into the freedom that God had promised to them, and to lead them to the land of promise that he had prepared for them and he was going to give to them. Jesus took an opportunity to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. You see that in Matthew and Luke, there's a recount of that, a telling of that time where Jesus said that he had looked forward to celebrating this Passover with his disciples. It was the Passover meal that he celebrated prior to being arrested and the events that would follow that would place him upon the cross. And so during that particular meal, as Paul here recounts for the church in Corinth, Christ took elements of that meal and he gave them a very special significance. The bread of that meal, he broke from that common loaf. He said, "This is my body, which is for you." And he said, to do this, break this bread in remembrance of what I have given you and what this represents as my body. He also took a certain of the cup. I think that there were four cups that were passed around during the Passover meal. Each of them had a special significance to it. And he took that cup that was generally offered after supper, and he now designated this as the cup of the new covenant in his blood. And he said, this too do in remembrance of me. Remember the blood shed for you for the remission of sins in that new covenant that Jeremiah had prophesied about in Jeremiah 31, where no longer would God's truth be an external thing, but he would make God would make his truth live into the hearts of his people. And each one of us then could have that very special relationship, but also a very special participation in that relationship. By God now being a part of us, there was a oneness, there was a unity to that. There is a movement, I don't know how much momentum it still has, but there was a movement at one time that it would be okay to have drive-by communions. This was prior to COVID, okay? So it had nothing to do with disease, but to have drive-by communions where the communion elements would be set out in a certain place within the church and participants could drive by and receive communion whenever they pleased. Thankfully, that was short-lived, and it destroys the meaning of communion. It destroys what God is trying to do. If you see the symbolism in that, as Jesus took up that loaf and as he began to break it, it says he blessed it. And as he had blessed it, rather, he began to break it and to pass it around to his disciples. So from that one body, that one loaf, this was being shared. Out of that one body of Christ would be shared with all of his church. That deliverance that his death and resurrection was to give us from that bondage and slavery that sin had delivered upon us, had given that effect upon us. And so we were to be delivered out of that bondage of sin as Israel was delivered out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt. What God is doing through us and has done for us through Christ, that symbolism of the body and the blood of Christ. The danger comes in, folks, when we allow this meal to be consumed and participated in as a sleepwalking event. There are certain things that we do in our worship service, certain elements of worship that we do every Sunday, and there is a tendency, because we are people and people do people things, there's a tendency for us to just sort of go through the motions. Well, this is the Lord's Prayer. We know it. You know, we just say it. We don't think about it. We just say it. You know, we sing hymns. We don't listen to the words. We just sing the hymns. We listen to the preacher pray prayers, and we give in our offerings. And if we're not careful, we just come and we just go through everything, and then we see everybody and we go home. And that's where we meet Monday mornings. Why we assemble together as one body is so that we can be strengthened through and by each other. That's the unity of that body that Christ wanted his disciples to never forget. We see symbols of that again throughout his scripture. And the unity of husband and wife that was proclaimed in Genesis. We see that again in the unity of his people surrounded by that one God, that one theocracy as we call it, where God was to govern and to rule Israel as that very special relationship. We see that unity again as we go into the New Testament and we see that unity then proclaimed by Christ of sending the Spirit, his Spirit, that was to join us together with the Godhead. And that very special spiritual relationship that we have, where the Godhead fills us and we are joined together in that. But we see the ultimate example of unity in Christ being fully man and yet fully God. How God and man has come together. And so never lose sight of the fact that communion is community. That's not the definition of it, but I want you to think that that communion is community. It's the bringing together the body of Christ. It's the participation togetherness of the body of Christ. Looking forward to that meal that we will have with our Savior one day that is called the wedding supper of the Lamb that Revelation talks about. But proclaiming the unity that is in Christ in its ultimate form, but the unity that we participate in an imperfect way, in how the Spirit fills us and how the Spirit then joins us together with that Godhead in a very special relationship. We are to remember what Christ accomplished for us as we receive these elements. And so we receive the elements in a corporate fashion. We hold them until we can all eat together. To speak into our hearts that we are all one, participating in the one body of Christ. We remember what Christ has done as he has commanded us to, for us through that body. As I shared briefly with our children today, and as I shared with you in last week's sermon about how Christ accomplished not only being punished for our sins and dying on the cross in that body, but how his life then also spoke to us about what it means to love and to live as God wants his people to love and to live. And how when we lift the cup, we think about the blood of Christ that was shed for us. And how that is received as the lamb was received and used that night so long ago in Egypt. When the people in surrendered obedience, to our Lord, they went and they believed what he said, they believed his word, and they followed his commands. And as they followed the commands and they took that blood, and as they hovered underneath that blood covered them symbolically and protected them from death and delivered them ultimately from the bondage that they had been subjected to. And that's what God does for us through Christ with our sin. The blood of Christ protects us from death. The blood of Christ covers us. And the blood of Christ delivers us from that bondage of sin. And so these are the elements that we celebrate this time. But then we're left with the question, what does this do for me? How am I to gain strength from the joining together and in participating with this meal? How is the body of Christ to be strengthened? The title today is Remember Me, and your thought for today is Communion Speaks Life into Our Souls. Very briefly, how does it speak life into our souls? The disciples, after the resurrection, if you remember, Peter went out and said, I'm going to go fishing. He had denied Christ three times. I'm going fishing. So they joined him. Well, they had come up empty. And the darkness had gone out at night. And in that twilight, they saw a figure on the shore. And they went toward that figure. And the closer they got to that figure, they recognized that figure as being the Lord. Of course, you know the story. Peter jumps out and starts swimming. He wanted to be the first to him. But I want you to take that for just a moment, that in that twilight in which we live, in that darkness of soul, that darkness of despair, that darkness of uncertainty, that darkness of everything that causes us to worry and have anxiety and to make us feel guilt and shame, in all of that darkness and twilight, the story there is the closer we get back to Jesus, the more defined He is for us, and the clearer the picture we have of Him as that one who comes to us. He came searching for Peter. He ministered to all of them that day in the meal that they shared there on the bank. But He came searching for the one who needed Him. And that's what He does for us. He comes searching for us who are loved supremely by Him. And He searches for us in all of the darkness and gloom and despair. And He offers to us the love and grace that He won for us in that body and by that blood. And what we gain from participating in this meal and remembering Him is that just as those disciples saw Him and they were renewed and they were refreshed by it out of their emptiness and gloom that they had experienced in that night of fishing, is that when temptation around us mounts, remember me. Jesus tempted by Satan in the wilderness. He's out there alone. Who else was going to know? But remember me. What did I do? I fought temptation with God's word, and I overcame temptation. When the storms of life want to take away our hope, remember me. When relationships fail and hearts are broken, remember me. Never lose sight of the fact that Christ was not only God's Son. Scripture says He was God. In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. The broken relationship that God had with His people broke His heart as well, Scripture says. And so He knows about broken relationships. He knows about broken hearts. He knows about suffering loss. And when forgiveness seems too hard to give, when forgiveness seems too hard to forgive, remember me. The one who gave the ultimate example of forgiveness when He cried out, "My God, forgive them. They just don't know what they're doing. Have mercy on their ignorance, Father. They just don't know what they're doing." And that symbol of the cross with arms wide and stretched to encompass the body that He was calling to Himself. That's what He offers you this day in this meal. To be consumed by you. To be remembered by you. As we think about that life that was given for you in so many different ways. The life now that speaks into our emptiness, into our darkness, into our despair, into our frustration, into our failures, into our fill in the blank. Jesus says, "Remember me. I am here with you. For lo, I am with you always," He said, even unto the ends of the earth. He's here with us today. So as we participate in this meal, we're eating with Jesus. Not only through the connection that we have with the Spirit, but in His closeness and in His, in a very real way, that He is with us this day. So remember that in this meal. Let me pray for you. Father, as we come before you this day, we pray that you will continue to prepare our hearts for this meal that we are beginning to enter into. We pray, Father, that you will touch us in a very special way through it. We pray that you will speak into our hearts the message of the life of Christ. And as these elements touch our lips and as we take them into ourselves, may we experience that incorporation into our bodies that helps us to gain strength for the spiritual journeys that you have us on. And so, Father, I just pray this day, look deeply, bathe us in your grace, and may we be revived and refreshed by what we are preparing to do. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.